There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
He deserves to die.
This man walks with the Son of God.
I do not. I don't know him.
I would like to offer my own tomb as your son's final place of rest.
He was killed for the repeated blasphemy of claiming to be the Messiah.
And if he was?
Once the Romans realize your message remains a threat, they will root you out.
Nazarene was only ever flesh and blood.
I want you to post temple guards at Arimathea's tomb. It must remain sealed.
On the third day, he promises to rise from death.
I will post a small guard outside the tomb. The
Roman seal has been broken. The tomb is now open and the Nazarene is gone.
What do you mean, gone?
Some excerpts from miniseries that debuted Sunday night, AD, The Bible Continues, from the same producers that brought us the Bible miniseries before, came in for some criticism about taking certain liberties with the Old Testament stories that we're all so familiar with from Sunday school. The new miniseries is now picking up where the last one left off, and that was with the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection, telling the story of the newborn church, of the apostles and Jesus' disciples after his resurrection. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Back live this Tuesday afternoon, April the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Ted Giese will join us. We'll talk a little bit about the debut of the TV miniseries AD, The Bible Continues. Rod Dreher will join us in the next half hour. You might have seen a recent New York Times column titled Bigotry, the Bible, and the Lessons of Indiana. Part of the assertions made in that column in the New York Times was that Christian leaders need to be made to take homosexuality off the sin list. We'll get Rod Dreher's response to that, senior editor at the American Conservative. Then, as promised, and on the heels of the Easter celebration, Easter Sunday celebration, the beginning of the Easter season for the church, hour two of Issues Etc. is Open Lines. What is your favorite Easter hymn and why? It's very simple. All you got to do is give us a call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and answer that question for us. Two important parts. What is your favorite Easter hymn and why? Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. You can use our Issues Etc. comment line if you're listening on demand, as I know so many of you are, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382, or as I mentioned, you go to our Facebook fan page and vote in advance, answering the question, what is your favorite Easter hymn and why, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to do a little review of the TV miniseries AD, The Bible Continues, at least the first episode, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
We're going to have some criticism for this miniseries, but let's begin with the positive. What's the best part of AD, The Bible Continues, so far?
Well, either they had, like, really good makeup artists, or these guys had real beards.
The best part was the beards.
That was, like, listen, that was actually really good. I caught a couple minutes of Killing Jesus, the other one. I recorded it. I haven't watched it yet. But boy, the fake bad beards in that one were epically terrible. In this, much better. So that's a little bit of a funny response, but really, actually, the production values of this were quite good for this kind of thing. It was quite good. Some other good things: the acting I found on a whole to be better than the Bible, the miniseries. So this AD, The Bible Continues, better acting in this. Also, casting was a bit better. This super duper overly kind of, handsome Jesus that they had in the Bible, the miniseries. Different actor now playing Jesus in this. His name is Juan Pablo de Pace, and he's quite good. Like, he hasn't had a lot just yet to do in this particular episode, like not a lot of speaking, but he came across, I thought, much better than the previous one. So this is the story of what happens after Easter, but they start this particular first episode. It's just all right around the time of the crucifixion, and it just rockets you right into the action. The very beginning, the first moment, you hear Pilate ask, "What is truth?" Blacksmiths are making nails, and then Peter's running down an alley, and then wham, you're at Jesus being tried with Caiaphas and everything, and Peter's seeing Judas and calling out to Judas, and Judas is taking off, and then they say, "Hey, aren't you with this man, Jesus?" And so it just throws you right into the action. It kind of expects you to know a little bit about what's going on. So some of those things were quite a lot better. So the pacing, the production, the acting, even the beards, much better in this.
Do they treat the events as, obviously they take some license, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, but do they treat the basic events, the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, as solid historical events? Are they leaving any kind of question marks? Where's the body? What really happened?
No, this is very, by the end of the episode, it's very clearly an angel from heaven has come down, the stone is rolled away. Like, there's no did this or didn't this happen. That's clearly not the case in this. Now, that being said, Caiaphas, who in Scripture is suspicious of everything, does still request to have a guard placed on the tomb and is worried about the resurrection. Like, he's worried that, you know, like, this might, that he's worried that somebody's going to tamper with the grave. And that's scriptural. Like, the Jewish leaders were worried that somebody was going to tamper with the grave. And that's why they requested to have the guard set on it. And that's included in this. So you have that point of view. But the show very clearly, it's not as though they have him say that and then they leave some ambiguity as to whether or not that happened or not. They very clearly are setting it up that, you know, like, they show you that the angel comes, the stone is rolled away, and it's kind of a cliffhanger at the end of this episode that, you know, Jesus is going to rise from the grave, like that, from the tomb. That is the cliffhanger for the episode. They even set something up, which is kind of interesting. Now, a lot of what they do in this movie, this series so far, this first episode at least of this miniseries, they kind of go, I see that they're kind of operating in this way. It's like, if Scripture doesn't say that it didn't happen, you know, maybe we can do something with that. So, for instance, the soldier that they have set up in charge of Jesus' crucifixion is Cornelius, who then later in the book of Acts, in chapter 10, is the one who calls to have Peter brought to him. And he's now a believer, Cornelius is. So they've made Cornelius the Roman soldier in charge of Jesus' crucifixion. So there's a moment in it where Pilate's trying to get his wife off of his back. He basically tells her, you know, I got all these Jewish guys on my back, these Jewish leaders. I don't need you on my back too. So he brings in Cornelius and says, Cornelius, is it possible that Jesus was dead, was still alive when they put him in the tomb? And Cornelius says, no, it's not possible that he was still alive. He was dead before the spear went in. He was dead after the spear went in. He was dead when we put him in the tomb. And then he said, and if anyone said that he was alive, what would you say about that? And Cornelius says, he would be either mad or a fool. And of course, now I'm positive that this guy, there's no reason to call him Cornelius unless he's going to be that Cornelius. So he's going to now later be one who believes in Jesus. So he'll either have to be a madman or a fool, or something better, a believer, right? So they're kind of setting some of those things up. But again, that's speculative. Like, obviously, we don't know who that specific soldier was, and we don't know if that's, like, Scripture doesn't tell us whether or not that soldier is Cornelius. But as writers, they're kind of going, well, let's kind of pull all of this together and make some story arc stuff or whatever. So, like, that's what you're getting out of this a bit, too.
So as far as how it deals with the actual text of Scripture, providing not only action but also dialogue, what should the viewer go in realistically expecting there?
Okay, what they're doing in this particular episode is have you ever been to a Lenten service where they might read like a harmonized version of the Gospels, where they'll have they'll bring in elements of all of the various Gospels and weave them all together? Like, there's some of these that are available out there, and some congregations will use like a harmonized passion narrative. They're kind of doing that. So there may be moments where you're expecting John's Gospel, like when Jesus is being questioned by Pilate, you're kind of expecting, you might, maybe in your head you're thinking John's Gospel, but really what they've done is they've focused in on Luke's Gospel, so Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 7, which is much shorter, right? So they basically take that one and pretty closely do what that is doing, and then they'll throw in, like, John's Gospel where Pilate says, what is truth? Like, they'll just kind of, like, throw in a little part from the other Gospel, so they're kind of zigging and zagging. So if you're expecting one thing, it's not that they have, like, completely jettisoned out Scripture. They may just not be using the exact part that you're expecting at that moment. So that seems to be kind of how they're dealing with Scripture in that way. They do take some liberties, and they do go in some different ways there was a couple major things that I, like, one big one that I was, like, not particularly keen on, and it's one that pretty much any Lutheran who was in church on Sunday or had been in church during Holy Week would know that this one is like, quite a divergence from what Scripture teaches. Another small one is they do things like this, like, there's no rooster crowing. Well, instantly, like, you notice that, oh, when Peter denies Jesus the third time, there's no rooster crowing. Just isn't there. But there's one big, huge one that really kind of got under my skin, and it's the one to kind of be cautious about, I guess.
So let's talk about you've already mentioned a few of them, but what they add in. And some of this, you got to hand it to them, you know, to exercise some restraint in adding things in, details that Scripture doesn't include that may be included, just for kind of telling a story in a clear or a kind of seamless way.
Yeah. They add some things in. For instance, when they come to tell, they come to mention that they found Judas. Well, Caiaphas is happy. It's like, great, now he can lead us to the rest of the disciples, because he's trying to simmer everything down. But then he's unhappy when he finds out, well, we found Judas, but the problem is he's hung himself. Right? So they've included that. That's not, Judas did hang himself. You know, the Jews were locked, like the disciples were locked up in the upper room for fear of the Jews. So, you know, like, but they've kind of just added just that little dramatic twist in it with him finding out about Judas's death, right? In that way, the way that they did it. Like, when in Scripture they find out about Judas's death, it's all set up like that, now we're going to make it into the potter's field, and they take the money, and they don't know what to do with the money. That's not what they're doing with this. It's really that they wanted Judas to maybe track down the other disciples. So that's the part that they kind of added in. There are things like Pilate's wife has a name. Scripture has, she's in Scripture for like one verse, but she doesn't have a name in Scripture. And she doesn't really get even the name Claudia, like that they use in the miniseries here. That's not a name that's associated with her for many, many centuries afterwards. Like, I did a little digging around, and it looks like that name didn't even show up for her until, like, the 1600s. So, like, but that's the name that they use for her. So they add that in. Caiaphas has a wife, and she has some conversations and stuff in there that, of course, the scripture doesn't talk about Caiaphas' wife, but there she is as a character, you know, some of these kinds of things. One thing that they do that's kind of interesting, but is definitely an addition, is that they make Caiaphas and Joseph of Arimathea much closer together. Like, they know each other, they're very close, and they're having conversations with each other, and they're doing that for dramatic purpose. And when Joseph of Arimathea comes back from having buried Jesus, and he's coming for dinner with Caiaphas, Caiaphas is inquiring as why he's late, and he says that he's been, basically it comes out that he's been burying Jesus. And Caiaphas is just, like, upset. And Caiaphas' wife is in there, and she's upset. And they're both upset because they're like, we're trying to calm this all down with Jesus, and here you are, you know, making everybody possibly think of Isaiah. Like, it would be Isaiah 53, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. And he's like, you're stirring things up. And, like, there's a real disagreement and friction between those two characters. And it's an interesting thing, but again, it's not scriptural. It's speculative, and it's dramatic. But they are pulling, like, in that instance, they do pull in Isaiah and prophecies from Isaiah into the discussion that Caiaphas and Joseph of Arimathea is having. So it's sophisticated a little bit. It's more sophisticated than the Bible, the miniseries, was. But you still have to kind of be a little careful. You got to be watching pretty closely as you're going through it. And it's a good, now that we just went through Holy Week, we heard much of Scripture surrounding the Passion being read in church, and we ourselves in our devotional life have been reading it. It's a good time to keep all of it in mind and to use what you know and to go back to Scripture and look at it in reference to a show like this.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We'll take a break. On this Tuesday afternoon, April the 7th, we're doing a little review and preview of the TV miniseries AD, The Bible Continues, with him. After a couple more minutes with him, Rod Dreher is going to join us. He's going to respond to a recent New York Times column titled Bigotry, the Bible, and the Lessons of Indiana. Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What do lay people owe their pastors? I've written an article in the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled What Hearers Owe Their Pastors, Receive the Gift, and you can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Jim Pierce's journey from Pentecostalism, fundamentalism, and atheism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, See our website at SOTHL.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest, reviewing and previewing the first episode of the TV miniseries AD, The Bible Continues. Pastor Giese, let's talk a little bit about some of the complaints you have about this. I mean, this kind of goes into the category of going beyond license to actually rub up against contradicting what the Bible says about certain things. You begin with the role of Jesus' mother, especially after his death.
Yeah, the notes I sent you, one thing that we want to be careful of is things that would really contradict Scripture. That's one of the key things you need to be watching for these kinds of shows. So in here, we've got a situation where Mary is kind of turned from being a grieving mother into a woman waiting her 3 days to see if what Jesus had said about his resurrection was true. The problem is that over and over again, Scripture tells us that they weren't getting it. Like, they were not picking up what Jesus was putting down, and that they really only fully started to understand these things once Jesus was actually risen from the dead. Like, the women went to the tomb with their spices to anoint his body, not because they thought maybe he might rise from the dead. They went there thinking he's dead, you know, and this is what Scripture tells us, is they were not thinking that he would be risen from the dead. So she's harping on this, and she's like, oh, you guys, you're so unfaithful. You got to wait the 3 days. And yes, Jesus did tell them that he would die, and 3 days later, the Son of Man would die, and 3 days later, he would be risen. But they weren't getting it. They never got it. They weren't hopefully waiting for it, wistfully thinking maybe, perhaps. And what they do, one of the things in this is they've got Peter, who is kind of like, a couple things happen. They get the zealots come and try to recruit them, and he says, no, we're just fishermen. We don't have that, an episode like that in Scripture. Then he says, speaking about Jesus, he says, I'll give him 3 days, I owe him that much. You know, as to whether or not he might be rise from the dead. So they're kind of painting them as knowing more than they, or understanding more than they do in Scripture. Like, we just, on Sunday, I was preaching and I was talking about how, you know, what Scripture says is that, you know, when the disciple whom Jesus loves, who we figure is John, got to the tomb and he looked in, he saw what he saw there, Jesus not being there, and he believed. Peter got there, looked in, saw the face cloth that was on Jesus' face all folded up in the corner, and he went away wondering at what had happened. Like, he is not thinking maybe Jesus would rise from the dead. He doesn't know what to think. He's betrayed him. He's dead. He's like, and this is where this is one of my major complaints with this particular episode, is that they're painted as knowing more than they, or understanding more than they actually are shown, what is shown to be the case in Scripture. So if you're going to trust something, trust the words of Scripture first, you know, way before you would trust what's presented in this. Providing that whatever's presented in this is in line with Scripture, then that's okay. But where it deviates, you are under no obligation to put any trust in that whatsoever. So that's one of the big things.
Can you explain something? I mean, you've said it here, and I think you said it very well, but explain, why is it a pretty serious problem for this miniseries to depict the disciples as either knowing or believing something that the Gospels are pretty clear they may have known, but certainly didn't believe, namely the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus? Why is that? Somebody says, well, maybe the story's a little better that way, or we're just kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt. Why is that a pretty serious problem with this miniseries?
I just think that, like, that is the glaring big problem. Like, you know, if you want to add in Pilate's wife and you want to have some conversations between her and him, and she really likes Jesus, which it kind of suggests that in Scripture, at least that, you know, it was troubling her that he was being crucified, or that he was potentially to be crucified at that point when she was having her dream. That's fine. You can have those discussions. But, you know, like, and you got to know that that's not Scripture. It just isn't. But when you take something like, it was so clear that they didn't know. And they weren't wistfully thinking that maybe he might rise from the dead. They were sure he was dead. And it was devastating to them. The not knowing what would happen next, it was a devastating thing. They weren't just afraid of being caught, you know, by the Jews. They were afraid because everything had gone into Jesus for the last 3 years. They had left their way of life. They had left everything. They'd went with him, and now it's all gone. Like that kind of deep despair and fear wasn't part of this. Confusion, you know, not quite knowing what to do next, but like they still had this hope that he would rise from the dead, and they just didn't know that from what Scripture says. So like I can't say more or enough that was the thing that stuck out as being most problematic. That being said, overall, like if the Bible the miniseries was like, let's generously say it was a C, maybe a C+. Generously saying, you know, like, I don't even want it. Like, let's just say it was a C-. With this, like, you're really going much. It's much better. It's like it's way up there. Like it's like a B, you know, comparatively speaking, a B+ in some places. You know, like it does some really good, smart, astute things, and is faithful in certain areas. This one spot is one that really stuck out as being contradictory to Scripture. So just to be careful when you're watching that was a big one right there.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to take up the subject of a recent New York Times column titled Bigotry, the Bible, and the Lessons of Indiana. Rod Dreher of the American Conservative will be our guest. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.